Good morning, Green Bay Packers fans. Welcome to Railbird Central at CheeseheadTV.com. I'm your host, Brian Caravu. Joined this morning by our live blog directors, Jamie Jorz and John Rahor. We're getting ready for a playoff game, an NFL divisional round matchup between the San Francisco 49ers and your Green Bay Packers. To do that, for our San Francisco in Focus episode this morning, we have joining us on the phone this morning, very early out on the West Coast. I'm glad he's joining us and agreed to be up so early, but we have Nate McKenna joining us on the line, a Packers fan from San Francisco. Nate, how you doing this morning?
Doing great, Brian. You know, the Packers play tomorrow. I can't really sleep anyways. Might as well talk in Packers football.
Sounds good to me. All right, Nate, tell us a little bit about yourself, how you became a Packers fan, and what you're doing, in the land of San Francisco and not in Wisconsin to kick things off here.
Well, I'm staying a little bit warmer in San Francisco for one thing. I'm from Spokane, Washington. My grandfather went to medical school at Marquette when we still had medical school. He became a Packers fan. He tried to name my father Vince, his firstborn son. That lost that argument with his wife, but, you know, Packers got handed down through the generations, so we're all proud shareholders now. And so I actually went to Marquette, made it to my fair share of Packers games, and got to see the Super Bowl win back there. So that was quite the experience. And then I moved out here, and now I'm just getting involved in the whole startup atmosphere that's going on out here. So it's pretty exciting.
Very good. Sounds exciting, most definitely. Now, tell us, you know, Packers fans are coming into town for the day prior to the game tomorrow. Let's say they have some time open today, Friday afternoon, Friday evening. What are some tourism type of things, tourist attractions a Packers fan could do in San Francisco, kind of kill the day a little bit and have a good time?
Right. Well, you know, if they're getting in Friday afternoon, there's not going to be a ton of time to go out and see everything the city has to offer. But, you know, if they're staying downtown, Union Square is always a beautiful place to walk around. You know, there's more shopping than any wife could get done in a weekend, so that'll keep them happy. A lot of cool little restaurants down there. And from there, I'd really recommend going to the Mount Hill neighborhood, to Top of the Mark. It's a restaurant in the Mark Hopkins Intercontinental, which is a beautiful old hotel. And from there, you know, at the very top of the hotel, you have a great view of the Bay Bridge, the bay, and all of the city. Some great martinis, all kinds of drinks. I had a couple good old-fashioned up there myself. So that's a place I have to check out. And from there, you know, two-block walk over to the Knob Hill Cafe. It's a nice little neighborhood Italian place. It's your all kinds of delicious pasta and pizzas. Or if you're looking for something a little more substantial, I'd say take a cab over to Van Ness to a House of Prime. Exactly what it sounds like. Delicious primary place. You can't go wrong with that.
Well, very good. Let's say we're done with dinner tonight and we have time to go out on the town. Is there any place you would suggest for drinks, the nightlife, that sort of thing?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, whether you're going out before or after dinner for drinks, Top of the Mark is a place that I really can't recommend enough. But from there, you know, Polk Street is pretty close. If you're a little younger crowd, it's a great crowd. I'd say it's pretty comparable to, say, Water Street in Milwaukee. Great time down there. Or you can head over to North Beach. They have a fun little Italy neighborhood. A lot of small Italian places and a whole wide variety of bars for, you know, whatever you're looking for.
Great. You know, as far as... you know, San Francisco is known for Alcatraz. Have you ever been on that tour?
Yeah, you know, it's a great time. It does take a couple hours because you get out there and they kind of let you roam around on the beach a little bit and kind of walk around. And you can take guided tours if you want. So if that's something you want to do, I'd recommend getting up a little earlier. You know, on Saturday or Sunday, it's going to take probably 2 or 3 hours so you're not rushed when you're out there.
Yeah, I've heard it's, well, I know from experience it's a good time, actually. I've been there myself. You know, tomorrow during the game, before the game, you know, Saturday morning, what is the tailgate scene like around Candlestick Park? And you know, what should a Packers fan do, be looking forward to in the vicinity of the stadium area?
Well, you know, Brian, if you're going to tailgate, the really most important thing I can tell you is you need to tell me where you're going to be first. Hit me up on Twitter. My number is @GoPacGo_47.
Well, we've got your Twitter handle up on our screen right now, so Packers fans know where to get you. So,
yeah, you know, yeah. So there's a big parking lot. You know, if you're driving there, plenty of atmosphere for tailgating. It's kind of similar to Lambeau or Miller Park.
Okay.
Yeah, and from there, you know, if you're just driving out or if you're just taking public transportation, there's plenty of options with the bus or BART to get you out there pretty easily.
Very good. Now it's, as I understand it, are the San Francisco 49ers moving to a new facility eventually? Is it under construction? You know, I'm not even sure all that much. You know, I know the San Francisco Giants play at a different facility. I think they used to play at Candlestick Park as well. Do you know anything along those lines?
Yeah, you know, it's actually a couple years away from coming into fruition, but they are moving down. Just down the highway a bit to Santa Clara, which is kind of nearby on the peninsula. They have a huge, beautiful stadium there. I've seen some drawings. They look pretty impressive, I'm not going to lie.
Very good, very good. Well, give me a prediction here, Nate. What's going to happen tomorrow? What do you think's going to happen? And are you going to the game specifically?
Oh, I am, actually. You know, I can't turn down if the Packers are going to be coming to my doorstep. I actually have to be there, so I'll be there with my girlfriend, another huge Packers fan as well. But, you know, I think Packers are going to win the turnover battle against Kaepernick. And I'm really, I think 27-21 sounds about right for me. I think we're going to get enough out of the ground game. And, you know, Aaron's best at playing with a chip on his shoulder than anyone. And playing against a team that didn't draft him, I think he's going to make a statement. So.
Very good. I like the way you think. My prediction was 28-21, so we're right there. Well, Nate, thank you so much for getting up early and talking to us this morning. We really appreciate it, and have fun at the game, and, you know, we'll talk to you again.
Absolutely. My pleasure, Brian. Go Pack Go.
All right. Sounds good. Nate McKenna, GoPackGo_47, joining us here this morning on a Railbird Central preview edition of the NFL divisional round matchup between the Packers and the 49ers. Let's get right to it, folks. Thanks to Nate for joining us. Thanks to you for listening to us. And if you want to call into the show, talk about this matchup, the phone number is up, 608-403-5425. Pardon me. Whoa, I butchered this. 608-403-5255. If you want to talk about the Packers matchup here, let's go ahead. Now, I had just had, before I came on air, posted the beginning of this morning's Packers Daily Links. I'm not even through getting through all of it yet, but I had to get the information out there. Aaron Rodgers, on his weekly radio show yesterday on the ESPN radio affiliate in Milwaukee, had admitted that he's been sick this week, and kind of weird. Now, I don't think it's anything to get alarmed about. I don't think he's going to miss any playing time or anything like that. But it is kind of weird and notable that, you know, several Packers players have had the flu bug lately. It's been making its way through the locker room. You know, just this week, you know, Randall Cobb had missed practice and sent home with flu symptoms. There, you know, over the past few weeks, there's been stories about the offensive linemen especially have been hit hard with the flu. Just a couple games ago, offensive lineman Don Barclay, he could barely get through the one particular game. He was lost a bunch of weight the day before, but fought through it and actually, you know, played through his little flu bug or whatever. Heck, after last week's game, do you remember the post-game press conference with head coach Mike McCarthy? He was coughing and hacking his way through that. Actually, I had to cut it short a little bit, as I remember. So the flu bug making its way around the locker room, kind of interesting. But again, I mean, if there's a silver lining here, the good news is that from what Aaron Rodgers has said on his weekly radio show, there's no reason to think he won't play or anything like that, but hopefully this doesn't impact anybody else on the team or get anybody sick like today, and then, you know, the worst part of it is tomorrow. The word is Aaron Rodgers was sick earlier in the week, or he said he's getting better now, so hopefully the worst is behind him, and the Packers continue to get better, and he gets better. And they don't have to deal with this on Saturday, but wow, if the kind of bad timing, isn't it? I suppose it's in the winter, it's kind of flu season, but seems to hit more at that time of the year than any time else. But yeah, I mean, there's a bad time for this to happen. It would certainly be during the NFL playoffs, but you know, let's think positively here. We'll think positively. You know, other things going on around the world of the Green Bay Packers. I know there's an article from Tyler Dunn of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel today, if you want to check that out over at JS Online. Article on Donald Driver. And there's been a Facebook petition. I don't know if it's a petition, but a Facebook page in which Packers fans think or are advocating for wide receiver Donald Driver to be active. And we've got over this ad nauseum here on Railbird Central about, why why Donald Driver has been inactive and things like that. And, you know, of course, he was inactive last week for the first playoff game against the Minnesota Vikings. And, I see here on the live blog, DJ Protege says, with Boykin out, Donald Driver might get the call. Well, that was the same thing last week, too, that we thought. Jarrett Boykin didn't play last week either against the Vikings, and Donald Driver was still inactive. So, you know, what the Packers do with him is kind of interesting. And so Donald Driver, the interview in JS Online today is that, you know, Donald Driver has even said he's willing to play special teams, and that's kind of always been, you know, one of his things working against him is that, you know, guys like Jeremy Ross, you know, the young kick returner, well, he plays special teams, whereas Donald Driver doesn't. You know, the only thing Donald Driver's done for the past several years is play offense. And you know, I don't know. I don't know what the Packers do. It's certainly one of the toughest calls on the team. I would think once again he would be inactive. I don't know who the Packers, it's not just making him active. They got to make somebody inactive. And, you know, last week, one of the final roster spots came down to linebacker Terrell Manning, who plays, you know, he's not going to be expected to play linebacker. He's out there to play special teams. And he was a big factor on special teams last week, let me tell you. He made two tackles and then also forced that fumble of Marcus Sherrill's, in which the Packers recovered, the only turnover of the game. That was huge. I certainly do not, I'm certainly not in favor of the Packers, deactivating Terrell Manning just so Donald Driver can play five snaps on offense. That's not the way I would go about it. Now, I think Donald Driver's fine. He's a great number five wide receiver as far as the NFL goes. He's maybe is the best number five wide receiver in the league. I don't think his skills have diminished that much yet. I think he's worthwhile. He adds a lot to the team in terms of veteran experience, in terms of leadership, all those things. He was just a playoff captain a year ago. But unless they can find a spot for him, that's not taking away playing time from other people, you know, I don't think the Packers should activate him. I don't think they should cave into, you know, what the fans want. I don't think that's in the best interest of the team. Now, if they can find a spot for him and you're not, if somebody's injured or whatever, you're not taking away playing time from somebody else like Terrell Manning, fine, that's great. I love Donald Driver. I'd love to see him out there. But, we'll see. And this whole thing about him playing special teams, if he is active, I'm waiting to see that. Can you see Donald Driver out there covering kickoffs? Maybe he did that in his early career. In fact, anybody on the live blog, I'd like to, if you want to do a little research, really do a little digging and share your findings here. Find out Donald Driver's history of playing special teams. Has he ever played special teams? He had to as a young player, as a rookie, second-year player. Had to cover kickoffs or something back then. I don't know. Maybe even return kickoffs once upon a time. That would certainly be easy to find out. So interesting to see what the Packers will do with Donald Driver here. Certainly a debate this week. More news in preparation of the Packers divisional round here matchup here against the San Francisco 49ers. The kicking situation for both teams. The 49ers have decided to go with David Akers. They brought in this past week, had a tryout here with the former Baltimore Ravens kicker. What's his name? I forget his name off the top of my head. Why is this escaping my mind? Somebody can throw this on the live blog as well when his name pops up here. Cundiff. There we go. Billy Cundiff. Anyway, the 49ers have decided to go with David Akers this week. And kind of interesting, the kicker matchup and Jersey Al. Right here, checks in on the live blog. David Akers, better than Mason Crosby? Greater than Mason Crosby? We'll see. David Akers is kind of a kicker who's past his prime and has had struggled this season for the 49ers. Regardless, they've stuck with him very much like the way the Packers have stuck with Mason Crosby through his struggles this season. So kind of two guys, one for each team. The kickers here have struggled this year. Of course, Mason Crosby kind of making a little comeback, playing well lately. But, just something to keep an eye on here is the 49ers actually held open tryout here for Cundiff and, wanted to see if he could do any better than Akers. But they decided to go with the veteran, the guy they've gone with all year. I can't really blame him, I guess, but one missed field goal from either side, and there's going to be a lot of talk about the kicking game and what could have been if there's missed field goals. So that plays into the whole field condition of the Candlestick Park turf as well. We'll see here what kind of condition it'll be in. We've seen pictures this week that the turf is a little bit worn out, especially between the hashes. And I don't know how much that'll factor in actually to the outcome of the game, unless it's really bad. I mean, the grass looked a little bit brown, a little bit faded, but, as long as there's not like divots in it, big chunks taken out, I think it'll be okay. I don't know what it's really like. I don't know whether it's bad enough that, a kicker could lose his footing or any player for that matter. So, just worth watching here. I did my prediction here on my interview on K107 before we came on here here on Railbird Central. And my prediction was for the Packers to win 28-21. And again, I mean, this whole prediction business is people get bent out of shape, I think, sometimes about just predictions, and they shouldn't be. I mean, because it certainly wouldn't surprise me by any stretch of the imagination to see the San Francisco 49ers win. But regardless, I think the Packers will win. The reason I do think that is the experience edge at quarterback. And kind of breaking the game down here and what I think are the biggest factors. I think the Packers have the experience edge. They've got Aaron Rodgers, Super Bowl MVP, a guy who's won on the road before, won the Super Bowl, then Super Bowl MVP. The Packers in 2010, of course, won three straight road games to get to the Super Bowl. In the divisional round, they went to Atlanta and won. I think the Packers could do it this week, and I think it's because of Aaron Rodgers. I think the Packers can force Colin Kaepernick into turnovers. That's more likely than the 49ers forcing Aaron Rodgers into turnovers, whether they be interceptions or fumbles or anything like that. Aaron Rodgers now hasn't fumbled or, or, or fumbled, hasn't thrown an interception like four straight games, which is absolutely a fantastic statistic. He's taking care of the football. The Packers are winning, you know, for the most part. And I just think Aaron Rodgers will be at the on top of his game. He's got the whole slight thing working in his favor this week, you know, going back in history and how the 49ers passed him up in the NFL draft way back in, 2005? And, there was reports this week that Aaron Rodgers isn't playing quote-unquote great, was the word from the guy from NFL Films. Anyway, you know, I think Aaron Rodgers, he's always played well in the playoffs. He's always been on top of his game. I have no reason to think this isn't going to be any different. Now, yes, I realize the 49ers defense is good. No doubt about it. And I think they can make things hard on Aaron Rodgers. But, I just think Aaron Rodgers makes one more big play than Colin Kaepernick. You know, and that's all it's going to take. That's all it has to take in order to be the winning margin. The Packers are going to punt tomorrow. It's not like they're going to light things up against the 49ers defense. But all it's going to take is just one more big play from Rodgers than Kaepernick to be the difference in the game, to be that one score difference, to get them on to victory. I think it's more likely that Colin Kaepernick's going to turn the ball over. I think the Packers' defense has improved this year. They haven't forced as many turnovers as they did last year, but I think it's something they're capable of doing. I think Colin Kaepernick, perhaps being a little bit inexperienced, he's not going to be quite the magician in his first ever NFL playoff game. I think the Packers can kind of rattle him a little bit, you know, whether it's with the blitz or whatever. I just think he's bound to make a mistake sometime. I think one of the keys on the other side of the football for the Packers defense is all about containing Colin Kaepernick and the 49ers running game in general. Of course, we've talked about it here. The 49ers on occasion run the read option, and something the Packers saw last week from the Vikings, and they saw it earlier in the season as well. Something new to the Packers, in a relative sense, not totally, new, but something they haven't seen a whole lot, the read option. And I think if the Packers could contain Colin Kaepernick, to the pocket, not let him hurt him with the read option or any sort of running for that matter. And to go along with that, stopping Frank Gore, I think that'll put the 49ers in long down and distance situation, second and long, third and long. And when they're in those type of situations, then the Packers have, a definite advantage. Any team does when you put a team in third and long. I mean, that's when the turnovers come. That's when the sacks come. I think that favors the Packers. This whole thing about the trenches with the 49ers, I think that's a little bit overrated. I think the 49ers have a great front seven on defense, but you know what? Justin Smith has been hurt. He's apparently going to play through injury here this week. And I just think it's perhaps a little overrated, especially with Smith's injury. So, and on the offensive side of the football for the 49ers, in the trenches, the 49ers' offensive line is nothing great. Their left tackle, Joe Staley, he gets a little bit of attention. He's all right. But other than that, I mean, those guys on the 49ers' offensive line aren't like this unstoppable force by any means. I think Clay Matthews could take it to him. I think they could get something going on the blitz. I mean, wherever it comes from, whatever Don Capers dials up, whether it's, Eric Walden on the other side, whether it's the inside linebackers blitzing, whether it's, guys like Mike Neal and B.J. Raji and Mike Daniels getting a little bit of a pass rush from the defensive line, whatever. I think it's going to happen tomorrow. And again, I think it's going to be an even game. I think the 49ers are going to get some sacks. You know, they're going to make some plays, but I just think, you know, it's just going to be one less sack for the Packers. You know, one more big play from Aaron Rodgers. You know, if the 49ers make 14 big plays, I think the Packers are going to make 15. You know, it's going to be a close game. You know, I'm acknowledging that. I'm admitting that. I think the Packers are going to blow out the 49ers. I just think the Packers are just that itty bit better. And you know, of course, what we can look forward here to is the Seattle Seahawks taking care of business on the other side of the NFC bracket. And if that happens, you know, of course, the Packers will get a home game in the NFC Championship game against the team that did them wrong so long ago back in week three, the Seattle Seahawks, and the whole Fail Mary and that whole saga. It would be so appropriate for that game to be played in Green Bay. But regardless, the key here is the Packers win, and no matter if they got to go play Atlanta on the road or whatever, the Packers will take it. They just want to get to the Super Bowl. But man, that would be something else to see the Seattle Seahawks 1 week from now in the NFC Championship game. So there we go, 28-21 Packers, one more touchdown. And we'll see how things all play out. So it's getting close here, folks. It's Friday. The game is tomorrow. We're one day away. We're a little more than 24 hours away. Got to wait all the way to Saturday night, and that'll be a tough Saturday to get through. But it's exciting times. Thanks for joining us here this morning, folks, on Railbird Central. As always, make sure to check out all your Packers news needs all week long. At Cheesehead TV. On behalf of Jamie Jors, on behalf of John Rahor, I'm Brian Caravu, and we'll see you later, everyone, folks. Enjoy the game this weekend, and go Pack, go. I leave you today with a song called Rosie by the String Cheese Incident on Psy Fidelity Records. See you, everyone.